This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Marcy Silman. And today we start our show with a look at an ongoing story within the Seattle Police Department. In 2012, the SPD entered into an agreement with the Department of Justice. The goal of that agreement was to address excessive use of force and biased policing practices. The Justice Department found nearly 70% of the SPD's excessive force cases involved people who are dealing with mental illness or drug and alcohol addiction. This week, the police department announced a new policy for how officers should treat people who are coping with these issues. That plan calls for all patrol officials to receive training in crisis intervention. The new policy was approved by a district judge who's overseeing the SPD's reforms. Bill Hobson is here now to help us understand how the plan might work on the streets. He's executive director of the Downtown Emergency Service Center, and Hobson's also a member of the Community Policing Commission. Bill, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me, Marcy.
First off, can you give me an example of the kind of incident that this new policy is meant to address?
Well, hopefully it would address a situation that was very tragic in our community a couple of years ago with the shooting death of First Nations wood carver John T. Williams. I think that all of us involved in the crafting of this, the Crisis Intervention Committee, which is another body that's spelled out in the consent decree, has been reviewing different iterations of the policy draft as it evolved and making comments on it. I think we all want to avoid tragedies like that from occurring, and I think if properly implemented, by that I mean where officers are properly trained, where they're vigilantly supervised, I think we will avoid unpleasant situations such as the shooting death of John T. Williams.
More than unpleasant, some people might say tragic. What are some of the main components of the new policy practices?
Well, you talked a little bit about it in the structure of the program. First of all, there is a specific coordinator of crisis intervention that has been identified that is appointed by the chief of police and provides command-level oversight of the program. But the other two major ingredients of the new policy is to have all officers, all sworn officers, trained in crisis intervention training, and then to create a specialized cadre of certified crisis intervention trained officers that will receive an additional 40 hours of crisis intervention training. And I think the central piece of that training is to de-escalate situations. When an officer is called to a crisis situation, he or she should be thinking, first of all, I don't want my behavior entering into this situation to cause an escalation, a further escalation of it, and I want to comport myself in a way that actually reduces the potential volatility of the situation. I think approaching crises with that idea in mind is going to mark a dramatic shift in the way policing deals with folks in behavioral crises. Another major element of the new policy that I'm especially appreciative of as director of DESC is efforts. Officers will be specifically trained on how to get assistance for people they encounter in the community, whether that's long-term treatment, referral to shelter resources immediately if they're homeless, helping them, referring them to organizations, connecting with organizations that will help them with their housing. So,
Bill,
there are major elements of it, I think, that are going to dramatically improve, and I think overall produce a reduction in the instances of use of force of SPD.
You mentioned that those are something you appreciate as director of Downtown Emergency Service Center. Can you explain to our listeners what your organization does?
On any given day, we're serving in all of our programs, our shelters, our clinical treatment programs, our housing programs, about 2,100 separate individuals each day. And about 80% of those folks are living with severe and persistent mental disorders or addictions problems.
You mentioned John T. Williams at the top of the interview. Do you know people who have been involved in similar kinds of confrontations with Seattle police?
Yes, Yes, it happens occasionally. And one of the things that I'd like to note in this is that my colleagues on the Community Police Commission and myself wish that this policy had actually gone a little bit further. We do not believe that it is strong enough on stressing helping police officers become more culturally competent, helping them understand accepted norms of behavior in different communities and communities of color. I would especially point out immigrant communities that have different conceptualizations of police organizations and policing practices. And I think a lot of that was at play in the shooting death of John T. Williams. I think that the nuances there were simply not appreciated enough. The policy does stress language interpretive assistance, and that's good, but we don't think it goes far enough.
Is there room for it to go even further?
I think there is, and not in the policy now, because the policy has already been developed. It's been approved by DOJ and accepted by the monitor and accepted by the federal judge that is overseeing the consent decree. But I think there's room for us to implant principles of cultural competency in the training curriculum and also in the supervision of officers. Developing policy is a great thing to do, and I think this is definitely a step in the right direction. But the real proof of this, the real success of this, is going to be directly dependent on the level of training that the officers have and the degree to which supervisory accountability is imposed on them.
Bill Hobson, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, Marcy, thanks for having me.
Bill Hobson is Executive Director of the Downtown Emergency Services Center and a member of the Community Police Commission. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.